In the dystopian world of Callie Hart's Quicksilver, a stolen golden gauntlet becomes the catalyst for an extraordinary journey across realms. This dark fantasy romance has captivated readers since its 2023 release, earning praise from BookTok influencers for its unique blend of high-stakes adventure and sizzling romance. What begins as a desperate theft in a poverty-stricken ward evolves into an epic tale of forbidden magic, ancient prophecies, and a love that defies the boundaries between worlds. The novel's exploration of sacrifice and redemption resonates deeply with fans of Sarah J. Maas and Jennifer L. Armentrout, while establishing Hart's distinctive voice in the fantasy romance genre. In the oppressive heat of Zilveran City, survival means knowing when to lie and when to run. Saris Fane, a young woman from the impoverished Third Ward, finds herself in mortal danger after stealing a Guardian's golden gauntlet, a treasure worth enough to secure her brother Hayden's education and their escape from poverty. As she desperately scales the eastern wall to escape, something extraordinary happens. The gauntlet begins to whisper, and particles of quartz rise from the sand around her. "She sees us. She feels us," the mysterious voice murmurs. This stolen gauntlet represents more than mere wealth. It's Saris's rebellion against Queen Madra's brutal regime, where the poor are systematically oppressed and the slightest infraction means death. When Elroy, the old glassmaker who shelters Saris, refuses to melt down the stolen treasure, he reveals something disturbing about her. Objects sometimes shake around her, and once she spun a dagger without touching it. This strange ability to affect metal is dangerous knowledge in a world where magic users are hunted and executed. When Hayden discovers the gauntlet and is cornered by guardians, Saris makes a desperate stand to save him, killing two guardians before being captured. Her journey to the palace reveals the stark inequality of Zilveran. While Third Ward residents receive meager 6-ounce water rations from filthy reservoirs, the palace gleams with opulence. In a cavernous hall with ancient carvings, Queen Madra herself appears from the darkness, convinced Saris is an assassin sent by the mythical Fae. The queen's paranoia culminates in a chilling threat. Not only will Saris die, but the entire Third Ward will burn for her theft. Left to die at the hands of Captain Harren, Saris faces a pivotal moment that changes everything. As Harren drives his sword into her stomach and prepares to finish her with another dagger, something impossible happens. The weapon freezes an inch from her body. The metal liquefies, flowing like quicksilver toward her tormentor. Despite bleeding out, Saris drags herself to an ancient sword embedded in a platform, pulling it free despite Harren's frantic warnings not to turn the key or open the gate. The ground beneath transforms into a pool of silver, and from this liquid metal emerges a tall man with shoulder-length black hair, iridescent green eyes, and black armor. This death figure turns his attention to Harren, silencing the captain's babbling about obsidian before carrying Saris into the pool as darkness claims her. When Saris awakens, she finds herself in a luxurious bed in a room with painted clouds on the ceiling. Her caretaker, Everlane, reveals pointed ears. She is Fae, a creature Saris had believed was merely folklore. Somehow, the catastrophic wounds that should have killed Saris have been completely healed. She has been transported to the Winter Palace in Yvelia, a realm of the Fae that makes Queen Madra's royal seat look like a hovel in comparison. King Bellicon, Everlane's father, informs Saris coldly that she has been brought to Yvelia for a specific purpose, to reopen the portals between worlds by awakening the Quicksilver. When she protests about returning home, he declares everyone she knew in Zilveran is already dead, killed by the bitch queen. Her cooperation, he suggests, will determine her comfort in this strange new realm. The mysterious man who emerged from the Quicksilver pool is Kingfisher, a figure of legend among the Fae. With his cold demeanor and sharp tongue, he initially treats Saris with disdain, referring to her only as human or little Osha. Yet beneath his harsh exterior lies a complex history. He was banished for a century after a devastating incident at Gilithrae, a fey city that burned with nearly 200,000 souls inside. Fisher reveals that Ceres is an alchemist, a rare individual who can communicate with and manipulate quicksilver, the mysterious substance that forms pathways between realms. He forces her into a blood oath to help him create protective relics that will allow his warriors to travel safely through the quicksilver pools. This oath binds her completely to his commands, her body compelled to obey him even against her will. A painful lesson in the dangers of making deals with the Fae without reading the fine print. Despite his cruelty, Fisher shows moments of vulnerability. When he returns to Zilvaren to rescue someone from Ceres' family, he brings back not her brother, but Carrion Swift, a friend who has been protecting Hayden. The journey through the Quicksilver without protection takes a terrible toll on Fisher, leaving him writhing in agony as the voices in his head overwhelm him. Only his mother's pendant offers some protection against the madness. As Ceres begins working in Fisher's forge at Kalish, his ancestral estate, she discovers the true magnitude of her task, transforming nearly 15,000 silver rings into protective relics, a job that could take years. Yet in quiet moments, Fisher reveals glimpses of a different person, one who shows genuine affection for the fire sprites who serve him. Who carries the weight of impossible choices, and who fights a constant battle against the quicksilver fragment embedded in his right eye. Beyond the ancient walls of Kalish lies a world ravaged by centuries of bitter conflict. Fisher and his trusted general, Renfis, command an army of battle-hardened Fey warriors against the Senestrothian vampires, creatures who were once part of the noble Fey houses before choosing to embrace a dark curse in exchange for unnatural power and immortality. Their enigmatic leader, Malcolm, stands at the helm of vast legions of undead soldiers who mass along the frozen banks of the Darn River, their rotting forms a stark contrast to the pristine snow as they seek passage into the protected Fey territories. The war's intricate web of betrayal and loyalty comes into sharp focus during a tense confrontation at the riverbank. Malcolm, with calculated precision, calls out to Fisher across the icy divide, speaking of recent conversations between them, a revelation that sends ripples of distrust through Fisher's ranks. The warriors, already uneasy about their commander's mysterious 100-year disappearance, begin questioning where their leader's true allegiances lie. Fisher's steadfast refusal to explain either his lengthy absence or his connection to the devastating fire that consumed Gallithrae only deepens these suspicions. The horror of their enemies becomes viscerally clear when Senestrothian feeders launch a brutal assault during an evening meal at Kalish. These nightmarish creatures, with their waxy, corpse-like skin and grotesquely elongated fangs, move with unnatural speed through the halls. Ceres witnesses firsthand Fisher's lethal combat prowess as he dispatches the monsters with practiced efficiency. The battle provides her with crucial knowledge. Silver isn't merely precious for its beauty or value. It's the only metal capable of delivering a killing blow to these abominations. Despite her human limitations and inexperience, Ceres manages to wound one of the attackers, revealing their true nature as corrupted beings when writhing maggots pour from the creature's wounds like living decay. The conflict takes a devastating personal turn when Malcolm orchestrates the capture of Everlane, subjecting her to his enthralling bite, a deadly curse that will claim her life within 3 days unless a cure can be found. This calculated strike reveals Malcolm's true strategic genius. Rather than confronting Fisher directly, he aims to break his opponent's spirit by corrupting and destroying those closest to him. The attack carries a chilling message: I will take something precious to you and shatter it beyond repair. This psychological warfare adds another layer to the already complex battle, forcing Fisher to race against time to save both Everlane and his realm from Malcolm's expanding darkness. As Sayera struggles to master her alchemist abilities, her relationship with Fisher undergoes a profound transformation. Their initial antagonism, marked by sharp words and mutual distrust, gradually dissolves into an undeniable attraction that neither can ignore. During their training sessions in the forge, casual touches spark with electricity, and shared glances linger longer than necessary. Their passionate encounters culminate in an extraordinary phenomenon. Intimate physical markings appear on their skin, ancient symbols known as god bindings that shimmer with an otherworldly light before fading like morning mist. Fisher, usually guarded about his past, eventually shares the truth about these mysterious marks. They are sacred bonds from ancient mythology, where the gods themselves blessed chosen pairs of lovers, though these tales invariably ended in tragedy. He reveals how these stories were passed down through generations of his people, speaking of lovers whose fates were so intertwined that their very souls bore matching marks. With uncharacteristic vulnerability, Fisher confides that his mother, a powerful oracle, had foreseen Sayeris' arrival centuries before. In her prophecy, she wrote that a woman would come blazing into his life like a meteorite and light up hell itself to guide him from darkness. The prophecy was meticulously detailed, describing even the shade of Sayeris' eyes, yet there was one significant discrepancy. In every vision, his mother drew Sayeris as fae, not human, a detail that continues to haunt Fisher. Their connection reaches new depths when Sayeris attempts her first major feat of alchemy, reforging a shattered god sword for Lorith, one of Fisher's most trusted warriors. The process becomes an intimate dance between artisan and material as Sayeris learns to negotiate with the sentient quicksilver itself. The mysterious substance demands unusual payment, a song to keep, forcing Sayeris to offer up a piece of her own essence. When the blade finally takes form, the sky itself celebrates the achievement. The aurora borealis appears, painting the heavens in waves of green and pink, a divine blessing unseen in the realm for over 1,000 years. Their relationship faces a crucial test during a brutal vampire attack at the Darn River. When Sayeris insists on joining the fight, Fisher struggles between his instinct to protect her and respecting her growing capabilities. In a moment that changes everything, he presents her with Solace, his father's legendary sword that she had previously pulled from the Quicksilver Pool, the very blade that initiated their journey together. This gesture transcends mere practicality. It represents Fisher's complete trust in her abilities and his acceptance of her as an equal partner in their shared destiny rather than just another tool in his centuries-old mission. The sword, warm and perfectly balanced in her hands, becomes a physical manifestation of their evolving bond. When Fisher learns that Malcolm has captured and enthralled Everlane, he faces an impossible choice that will echo through the ages. Despite knowing it's likely a trap, he makes the devastating decision to surrender himself to save her. In a moment of quiet resignation, he leaves behind his godsword Nimerel, the weapon that has been his constant companion through centuries of battle, and formally releases Sayeris from her blood oath of protection. Unarmed and alone, he begins the haunting journey to Galithrae, the ancient city whose destruction has haunted his dreams for over a century. Sayeris, demonstrating the unwavering loyalty that defines her character, refuses to accept her release. She follows Fisher through a shadow gate, accompanied by the stoic Lorith and the enigmatic Carrion. What they discover in Galithrae defies their darkest expectations. The once magnificent city has been transformed into a grotesque amphitheater of horror. Thousands of burning corpses fill the tiered seats, their flesh eternally aflame yet never consumed, all chanting in perfect, terrible unison, Anaroth Mor. The ancient fey words, "Release us," echo with desperate intensity through the cursed air. At the center of this nightmarish arena stands Fisher, confronting not just his old enemy Malcolm, but the full revelation of a centuries-old deception. Before him stands the complete triumvirate, Malcolm the Blood Prince, Bellicon the Shadow Lord, and Queen Madra the Twilight Sovereign. Three siblings who have finally reconciled their legendary feud after hundreds of years of manufactured conflict. Their supposed enmity, which had shaped the politics of the realm for generations, was nothing but an elaborate performance. Forced to confront his past, Fischer reveals the full tragedy of Gallifrey. During the Festival of First Song, when the city was filled with celebrating Fae from across the realm, he discovered the terrible truth about Bellicon and Malcolm's alliance. Desperate to save the city's population, Fischer accepted Bellicon's seemingly simple bargain. A coin toss would decide Gallifrey's fate. Leaf side up, Malcolm would spare the city. Fish side up, it would fall to his vampire hordes. The cruel sophistication of their deception became clear only when Malcolm snatched the coin from the air. It never landed, leaving the bargain eternally unresolved. With the city's population already partially turned and more falling to vampire corruption by the hour, Fischer made the most devastating decision of his immortal life. He ordered the city sealed and set ablaze, sacrificing nearly 200,000 Fae souls to prevent Malcolm's army from growing exponentially stronger. His punishment was as poetic as it was terrible. 110 years trapped in an endless labyrinth with the caught coin floating at its center, surrounded by the burning specters of Gallifrey citizens. His escape came only when a mysterious pool of quicksilver opened beneath his feet, though he would later learn this apparent mercy was just another move in the Triumvirate's grand game. In a desperate bid to defeat the Triumvirate, Fischer leads his companions through the treacherous depths of Malcolm's labyrinth, an ever-shifting maze of obsidian walls that seems to pulse with ancient magic. At its heart lies a pool of quicksilver, its surface reflecting distorted images of their deepest fears. The companions soon discover a chilling truth about their adversaries. We are the Triumvirate, three crowns sharing one source. To kill one of us, you must kill us all. Words that echo through the crystalline chambers with devastating finality. The group's fortunes shift dramatically when Carrion steps forward, his revelation sending shockwaves through the labyrinth. Carrion Dianthus, firstborn son to Rurik and Amelia Dianthus. His blood carries an ancient curse, toxic to Malcolm's very essence, a weapon forged through generations of careful breeding and sacrifice. This momentary distraction proves crucial, allowing Saris to locate the original silver coin from Fischer's fateful bet, cunningly hidden within a demon's throat. The coin, small yet significant, gleams with an otherworldly light that seems to pulse in sync with the labyrinth's heartbeat. Malcolm's attempt to seize the coin leads to a fierce struggle, but Saris's quick thinking prevails. As she reclaims and flips the coin, an otherworldly wind howls through Gillithry, its purifying force turning countless tortured souls to ash. The wind carries with it the scent of freedom and redemption, releasing generations of trapped spirits from their eternal torment. The climactic confrontation reaches its peak as Saris, wielding Salus with deadly precision, severs Malcolm's head from his body. His form erupts in brilliant blue flames, a spectacle of divine judgment. However, victory demands its price. Saris sustains a mortal wound that begins to drain her life force. Fischer, faced with an impossible choice, makes the heart-wrenching decision to save her through transformation, knowing it will forever alter her existence. In the liminal space between life and death, Saris encounters Zareth, the enigmatic god of chaos. Within this ethereal realm, he reveals a devastating truth. She and Fischer together form an axis of power so potent it draws an equal measure of destruction, like a cosmic balancing act. Through visions, he shows her countless futures, each one ending in the destruction of multiple realms, all stemming from their continued union. The only solution Zareth offers is radical. Saris must allow herself to be completely severed from the universe's tapestry, becoming invisible to the gods themselves. This sacrifice would fundamentally alter the fabric of reality around her, creating a blind spot in the cosmic order, with the promise of transforming her into something unprecedented, a being beyond the god's sight or influence. Xarath guides her toward the quicksilver pool. The liquid metal beckons, promising both salvation and irreversible change. In a final act of sacrifice, he pushes her into the mysterious depths, beginning her metamorphosis into something the universe has never before witnessed. When Sayeris awakens, she discovers she's undergone the Great Purge, a transformation unlike anything recorded in the histories of either vampires or fae. Her reflection reveals an unprecedented hybrid, half vampire, half fae, with delicately pointed ears reminiscent of the fae courts and the distinctive elongated canines of the vampire nobility. She learns that Taladeus, Malcolm's calculating second-in-command, bit her moments after Gilithri's attack, creating a perfect storm of supernatural changes within her body. For 3 days, she lay unconscious as both transformations warred and merged within her, reshaping her very essence. Further revelations unfold when Carrion finally unveils his true nature. He's not merely old, but ancient, a fae who has walked the realms for over 1,000 years. The truth emerges like layers of an onion peeling away. Fisher's father, in an act of tremendous courage, had smuggled him out of Yavelia to save him from Bellicon's purge. In the Third Ward, generations of swift women became his guardians, each passing down the sacred duty of protecting his secret. This legacy of protection formed an unbreakable bond between Carrion and the Swift family, explaining his fierce loyalty to Fisher. Fisher arrives with news that sends ripples through their already complicated situation. Taelena and Isabel have joined forces, combining ancient Fae wisdom with modern innovation to develop a method of removing his quicksilver contamination. This breakthrough means Fisher might escape the fate that claims all Quicksilver users, the descent into madness. However, their moment of hope is overshadowed by a new complication. Vampire law is absolute and unforgiving. By killing Malcolm, Sayeris has unknowingly triggered an ancient succession rite. Despite, or perhaps because of, her hybrid nature, she must assume the crown of Sannasroth, becoming queen to a kingdom that may reject her very existence. Standing at the window of her chambers, Sayeris gazes out at Amuntraith, the legendary fortress whose obsidian walls were built from the bones of ancient demons. The structure looms on the wrong side of the Darn River, its very presence a testament to vampire defiance of natural boundaries. She reflects on the irony of her journey, from picking pockets in Zilverin's Third Ward to becoming a being of unprecedented power, poised to rule a vampire kingdom while carrying fae blood in her veins. Throughout this extraordinary metamorphosis, one truth remains unshakable. The bond between Sayeris and Fisher transcends mere romance, defying the fundamental laws of both realms and challenging the very gods themselves. Their love, forged in the crucible of quicksilver and shadow, represents both salvation and catastrophe for the delicate balance between worlds. As Taladeus cryptically warned, immortality comes in two forms, the eternal grace of heaven or the endless torment of hell. And Sayeris must navigate this precarious path with wisdom, for her choice will ripple through both realms for centuries to come. The story of Sayeris and Fisher reveals the true nature of power, not as dominion over others, but as the courage to make impossible choices. From the moment Sayeris stole a golden gauntlet in Zilverin to her transformation into something beyond fae or vampire, her journey embodies the struggle between determination and destiny. Fisher's century of torment in Malcolm's labyrinth shaped him into the cold, calculating warrior Sayeris first encountered, yet beneath his hardened exterior remained the capacity for sacrifice and love, qualities that ultimately allowed him to defy the gods themselves for Sayeris. Their bond, manifested in the mysterious god bindings, represents a power older than the realms they inhabit. The quicksilver that flows between worlds serves as both pathway and prison, connecting realms while demanding terrible prices for passage. As an alchemist, Seiris learned to negotiate with this ancient force, understanding that true power comes not from control, but from conversation, from asking rather than demanding. In the end, Quicksilver explores how freedom often requires the heaviest sacrifices. Seiris chose to be severed from the universe's tapestry to preserve her connection with Fisher. In doing so, she transformed from a desperate thief into something unprecedented, a being who exists between worlds, between lives, forging her own path where none existed before. As Seiris stands at the threshold of her new existence, poised to become queen of the very creature she once fought, the question remains, in a multiverse where every choice creates ripples across realms, what price is too high for love, for freedom, for redemption? The answer, perhaps, lies in the whispers of the Quicksilver itself, in the spaces between worlds where possibilities are endless and nothing is truly impossible.